All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? I was thinking Nick might want to play the theme from Moonlighting, but very proud of our little Nicky growing up. But he is present and accounted for our show as well, Barry, as it's you and me for the next 3 hours, and Nick will interject when he catches up.
Now I don't have to pay attention for like the next 3 hours. This is great. I had to pay attention for the last 2 hours. Now I don't have to pay attention at all.
Oh, the struggle is real, Nick. We heard it. I mean, you actually had to work when you worked with Dell.
Yeah, I did. I had to like put in an effort.
Yeah.
Well, which I do not like doing at all.
It's hard to carry him. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I hope you worked out before that because you had to carry Dell.
I needed a forklift.
Yes.
So you're going to be busy this week because are you filling in for me when I'm gone after tomorrow?
Yeah, I think I am. So I'll be busy.
Who's producing the show on Thursday and Friday?
I do not know. I'm assuming Tyler just because I usually relieve him when, after the, you know, the Raheel and Dell show.
So right.
I'm assuming it's Tyler, but I don't know. It could be Partita. It could be Jose Partita.
Okay. You know, so you'll be doing, Raheel and Dell tomorrow.
Raheel and Dell tomorrow, the usual
and
suspects.
Then, yeah.
Yep, and then I'll fill in for you. Yeah.
I like it.
Intern Trey's out here trying to take my job.
He was. That was hilarious.
What'd he do? What'd he say?
So Nick came out for a bathroom break, and we were talking in the hallway a little bit, and I was giving Nick just a little jab, you know, just a little bit about, hey, you're cheating on us. Yeah, you're cheating on us. How are you doing that to us? Whatever. And the minute Nick turned his back to go in the studio, Trey goes, hey, Joel, I think you should get a new producer. I think you need someone other than Nick. And then I went, and Nick came back out, and I go, Nick, did you hear what Trey just said? He's like, no, don't tell. I'm like, oh, it's too late for that, Trey.
So he waited for me to walk back into the studio before he said it.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, intern Trey.
Yep. Shots fired.
That's for sure.
Taking your stuff.
I knew something was up when he asked me a question about the board the other day.
Trey is Mr. Steal Your Gal. You better watch out. You better keep her cuffed. Keep her cuffed. That's all I'm saying.
When you're asexual, you don't follow the bro code. Therefore, you can do whatever you want to do. So, therefore, your job is not off limits to him in trying to sniper his way right in there.
Yeah. Intern Trey just never seems to go away. He's always here.
No, he doesn't.
And I think he's going to pop up on one of these shows pretty soon. As an official participant.
I hope so. I am rooting for the kid. I want him to get a job in radio because I know he wants a job in radio. So I'm rooting for it.
Big time. Yeah, he was writing that on his Facebook.
Puts in the effort. Comes in from Baytown every day.
He had a great tweet today, which I wish I would have thought of it because it's a joke that I wish I would have wrote. But apparently Trey got 3 tickets yesterday.
Yep.
Driving while redhead. Driving while idiot. And
driving
while
NASCAR.
And then speeding. I don't, yeah. But so he goes to court, and his tweet was essentially, you know, you're at the courthouse. Wow, what was it? I don't want to do this tweet disservice. I'm going to pull it up. Hold on.
There's no driving while screaming in the tweet because he loves to scream.
Oh, that
when
day
he's
we were out in the parking lot and he came rolling by screaming. Yeah, I don't know what that was about. No, this is what he put. If you are at the courthouse, you can always guarantee that there will be a window open, but the lady behind the counter still won't help you. That's a great tweet and very accurate.
Totally
as
true.
Well.
Very
totally
true.
Accurate.
Yep.
If that's pretty much at any government entity. If you go to the courthouse, to the DMV, the post office.
Because they can do that.
Oh, I've never understood the post office. I'm like, the post office is worse than Walmart. It's like there are 7,000 people in line and you have 2 ladies working the window and 20 people back there. I don't understand it.
The other thing is the rare occasion when you get to the post office and there's no one in line, if you don't take the number, they make you go back and take the number.
Who?
At the post office. Oh my God. At the post office in Midtown.
I would be so pissed.
Oh yeah, I was waiting. I was like, are you serious right now? She goes, sir, if you'll go back and we can make this faster if you just go back and grab the ticket. I'm like, there's no one behind me.
Wow.
That's going too far.
Yeah, that is ridiculous. Going too far.
That's way too far. That's why post offices are closing all over the world.
But on the DMV thing, remember we were talking about the registration sticker?
Uh-huh.
So they screwed up. They gave me the wrong sticker.
Uh-huh, I remember that.
Yeah, I went in, And then she makes you wait and acts like she's just finishing, you know, she had to eat lunch or something like that. And then when she finally calls you up, she goes, 12:50. I go, wait a minute. But it was your mistake. She goes, you're going to pay the 12:50?
Yeah, that's what you're saying. Yeah, you have to pay again. That makes no sense.
Ridiculous.
I don't
and there's
get it.
No, you can't reason with them. It's government, just like either do it their way or gone.
The government is inefficient in just about everything that it does.
No question.
Speaking of, I don't usually get political, but I promise you guys, if Roy Moore wins election, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to tell Alabama to take a hike. I don't understand it. I really don't. How... Like, Al Franken should be gone, and he is. Roy Moore should be the same. I'm sorry.
If you don't want to get political...
I'm sorry.
I'm going to tell you this.
What?
The president of the United States should be gone, too.
Yeah, well, there's that, too. He's... I want to do our... We should do, like, our end-of-the-year stuff. We should say something... We should have something just for politics and just watch the show implode.
Oh, no doubt. Watch the text lines
explode. Watch people lose their mind. Oh, that would be so
good. We saw
that
one guy when the elections were still going on.
Yeah.
I can't believe how many times he texted in the Trump 2016. Yeah. Trump. It was literally 10,000
times. 10,000
times. It was so much.
My favorite part of today, though, in the vote in Alabama is Roy Moore rode in on a horse.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. And I was like, well, bleep him and the horse he rode it on. That's what I thought. I don't understand.
Was he standing and dancing on it?
No, but he rode in on the horse and he voted and he was all dramatic. The thing that kills me is not just what he did. And a listener was telling me like, oh, well, you know, at the time she was 15 and that was legal. That doesn't, no, I don't know. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear it. That's just, to me, that's excuses. But, the worst thing is his wife comes out, I think it was today.
Yesterday.
And basically says, some of our best friends are black. I mean, she used that tired old excuse that we're not racist.
You saw what she followed it up with, right?
Yeah, and we have a Jew lawyer.
Yeah.
What?
Oh.
Yeah.
So we can't have any, we're not anti-Semitism because we have a Jew lawyer.
It's a mess. It's a total mess.
Having a Jewish lawyer is just smart. That's what you're supposed to do.
And then there's Nick.
I have a buddy that lives in Alabama that's like, bro, I'm so embarrassed to be from Alabama right now. Like, I don't know.
Like, they're pulling out all, if you're the Dems too, first of all, you should just say F you and the horse you rode in on to him when he rides in today.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they're pulling out all the stops. Charles Barkley was campaigning against him last night, against Moore.
Oh, really?
The Chuckster. And, yeah. And his first comment was, y'all are from here. At some point, can't we all stop looking so damn stupid in front of the entire nation and do the right thing?
Did you see the Dabo Swinney presser?
I did not.
I saw part of it.
Did we miss something?
I'm going to have to get the audio for that. That was badass.
Did he go off? Did he have a rant? What happened?
No, he was just talking about this country.
Yep.
And it was great.
Jason retweeted it. I mean, Jason put it on Facebook.
Really great. So, yeah, we got to get that. Somebody, OU Mike said, I feel like Joel and Barry are holding Nick back. Fly away, little birdie.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody holding you back. If we were holding him back, we'd be like, no, we don't want Nick doing any other shows. He needs to be focused on ours. No, we're not holding him back. I'm rooting for a player.
No doubt. I turned on my radio, got in the car to drive to work.
Oh, I didn't do that. There's no way I'm listening to that garbage. Are you kidding me?
Immediately, I was going to change the dial because I heard Dell's voice. And then all of a sudden, I heard another voice that wasn't Raheel. And I was like, I know that voice. Wait a minute. I went, oh, it's Nick. So I'll listen to that.
Yeah, I didn't want to hear that garbage.
It was amazing stuff. You missed out.
I'm just messing with you.
Your flyers are fancy.
Yeah. Can we talk about Bitcoin for a moment, guys?
I'm sure. Mad about that.
I don't understand it. That's why I'm mad about it.
That's exactly why I'm mad about it.
I'm with you as well. Lisa and I had this conversation the other day.
I watched a thing on Netflix yesterday. Well, it took me a couple days to watch it. But I watched this. They have a new documentary on Bitcoin, and it talks about the beginning and Satoshi Nakamoto, and yeah, he was the inventor, but no one knows who he is and who is he and this, that, and the other. And I really don't understand the concept of it. But then it made me start questioning if I really understood the concept of money in general, because they were like, well, Bitcoin's just digital currency. And I'm like, yeah, but there's no money behind it. They're like, yeah, that's the point. It's everyone agrees that there's value in it, so then it has value, so it's its own currency. I'm like, well, that doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
There's no paper. There's no coin. It's just, like, yeah, it's called digital currency. I don't get it. And then there's like these.
But there is a coin, right?
No, it's all digital. There's no coin. There's no actual.
No, there's not a tangible coin. No,
it's nothing you can touch.
Someone told me if you have one of those bitcoins, it's actually worth.
No, it's all digital.
Someone told you wrong.
Yeah, it's not tangible.
It's all kept on computers. If you had your Bitcoin wallet on your phone, and you lost your phone, you lost all your bitcoins.
Honestly, if it was tangible, Joel, I would feel safer about, like, because that was a part of the reason why I never got into it. It was because I'm not smart enough to mess with this nonsense, kind of like gambling. I'm not doing this Bitcoin thing. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't understand. Well, let's just start with the fact that I don't understand how you conceive of a currency by just saying this is going to be a currency, because they're saying, well, you have to mine for it. And I'm like, well, what the hell is mining? And from what I understand, mining means you put a computer online and you participate in Bitcoin transactions. And then you have to solve this complex problem that Bitcoin gives you from the transaction, and the first computer that solves it gets a chunk of the fee for that blockchain. And I don't know what any of that means.
Yeah.
I'm just like, that makes that, just give me a dollar. I get what a dollar is, because a dollar is in my hand and I can fold it up.
Yeah, you just whitewashed my brain trying to follow that.
I can wash a dollar. I can lose it. I can put it in a stripper's G-string. I can't put a Bitcoin in a stripper's G-string. So let me just start with that. Mm-hmm. But I am so flabbergasted and amazed by this. And I've just been consuming myself with Bitcoin, and I still don't understand.
I read an article this morning. A 16-year-old kid got money for his bar mitzvah and invested it in a Bitcoin. And then he got $5,000 more from his summer job, and he invested that in Bitcoin. And he's now made over $1 million, and he's now working on selling that and using it as the backing for his financial investment company. And he's like 17 years old.
That's insane. I wish I was that smart crazy. When I was 17.
I was. I just didn't apply myself.
Yeah?
No. Somebody said you're absolutely wrong. There is a coin and you can withdraw from an ATM. No, that's not what my understanding of the Bitcoin was.
There is nobody a coin wants to I've go. Seen.
No, it's all virtual. It's digital currency.
Nobody it wants to deal with anything tangible anymore.
If it's digital currency, it can't be real. Otherwise, it's going against what Bitcoin was. Bitcoin was essentially a virtual or digital currency that didn't exist other than on the computers that were part of the Bitcoin network. So if you're getting into, oh, well, there's an actual coin now. Well, that's going outside of what Bitcoin was intended to be. I just watched an hour and a half documentary on it, so I can tell you.
It is a digital currency. That's the whole point. I mean, it's not tangible. That's for sure.
I'm trying to remember who told me that. Someone told me that yesterday.
The whole thing blows my mind. I feel like I understand about 1/1000th of 1% of
on
what it is.
National and local television, they've done features to try and explain to you, because everyone is in the same boat. They don't understand what the hell it is.
I have no idea. I just don't. I'm like, and then I started reading, well, so all I gotta do is just like download the app and I can get a Bitcoin? They're like, yeah, but you gotta mine for it, and it uses more energy running the computer than it would to be worth the money that you made getting the Bitcoin. I'm like, well, what the? This is stupid. I don't know.
What's not stupid is participating in this show. We're just getting started. So if you want to join us throughout the program, 713-780-3776. Those usual suspects that join us on a regular basis are already texting and tweeting. If you want to join the festivities, HRNP listener line is open for calls and texts. And of course, you can hit us up on Twitter, where it's @TheProducerNick, unless he changes his name because he's blowing up. @BarryIsFunny and @PacManJoel with a K. We're going to get going in just a few minutes, so don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back for segment number two of the big show. It's called The Usual Suspects. We named it that because, in part, you guys participate on a regular basis, and we love that. So we are already getting lots of tweets. I'm sure we're getting texts. I'm sure we pissed off people with a political comment or two. But that's what we do around here. But take it all with a grain of salt, move on, and know that you're being entertained, and that's all that matters. Like, for instance, Daniel on Twitter said, what's y'all's take on the Saints totally getting screwed by an ex-Falcon official? Well, if you were a usual suspect, you'd know we talked about that yesterday. But the good news is it's available on podcast, so you can catch up so we don't have to repeat ourselves.
Podcastarena.com.
There you go.
So I did a quick Googling. I Googled, is there a physical Bitcoin? And there is a physical Bitcoin, but it's not, I guess, official. So, because there's questions of, is it even legal to create a physical Bitcoin? Because Bitcoin, according to this, is completely digital, but physical Bitcoins do exist. And there's questions of their legality. So.
I just knew I had seen it. It looks like a dollar sign, but it's got a B.
That's the symbol for Bitcoin, like online. Like if somebody says, well, we take Bitcoin, you know how you'll see the dollar sign in front of a cost? It'll have the it'll have the B with the two lines through it in front of an item that would cost you or that you could pay for with Bitcoin. But yeah, there's this Cassasius Bitcoins are physical coins you can hold. Each one is worth real digital Bitcoins. But again, your Bitcoin is associated with your wallet, and then you have apparently this number or string that is your wallet. So it's weird how you would – I don't know how you can convert that to a physical currency because it wouldn't be associated anymore with your Bitcoin wallet on your phone or whatever. That also freaks me out because, I mean, I get enough viruses from porn. The last thing I need is to have all my Bitcoin stolen on my laptop because I'm at the wrong spot hanging out with the wrong digital people. But and people are saying there's Bitcoin ATMs, and I think that's so you can convert or you could withdraw cash using
off
your Bitcoin.
Of your account?
Yeah, because I guess because it's worth a dollar value as well. Like a Bitcoin, just like any currency, you know, you can get Canadian dollar versus American dollar. So I think you can withdraw. There's just a fee and so forth to convert it, I guess, to the cash that exists. So. It's fascinating, though. I have enthralled in the Bitcoin thing right now. Not that I want to buy any.
No.
Because it's too late. Like, if you didn't get in now, then you're probably going to miss out.
I'm just fascinated. Two different teenagers that I've seen are millionaires now because
of it. Well, our listener Tracy Cowley said they got some.
Yeah.
She's like, I got in there early. We made a killing. Yeah. I mean, you had the Winklevoss brothers that, you know, were disputed about who started Facebook. They invested $11 million.
Yeah.
They invested $11 million and now they're billionaires. So that's what Eric said. Barry, who decides the dollar has value? People, you just accept it. It's easy because it's the government telling you. Cryptocurrency is the people's bank. No government, no Fed regulations, and you can spend cryptocurrency online via PayPal. But again, the banks guarantee you the money. So if I have $1,000 in a savings account and all goes to hell, the government is backing my $1,000. No one's backing the Bitcoin. If everything goes to hell, sorry, there's no backing anywhere. That's the part that scares me.
That's why it seems like it's a thing that you got to go in and out of, right? Like you hope that whatever investment that you make,
it blows up
and it, you just walk out,
convert it to cash. And
that's the ideal situation, but you know that
I could see though the way that this deregulates but because there's New York tried to regulate Bitcoin, and so if you were going to be a company that worked with Bitcoin, you had to go through all this red tape and government stuff to get involved with it, and so it made a lot of people not want to do that at New York. But I could see 50, 60, 100, 200 years from now, our world moves to a digital currency because I mean, aren't we really that now?
I mean, iPhone is
check
literally-
cards. I have my Amex on my phone. We use our tap to pay.
I don't get how the iPhone thing now is like you use your eyes to pay, like it's eye recognition. Did you see that commercial?
No.
Yeah, you pay, like if you want to unlock your phone or if you want to pay, like you use your eye, like it takes a picture of your eye. It like recognizes your eye or something.
Really? So it's kind of like a login, like a thumbprint.
On the new iPhone.
But instead of having to use a thumbprint,
I'd rather do the thumbprint. I think that's pretty legit, right?
Right.
You can't match your thumbprint.
And if you're stoned and your eyes are all dilated, then you're...
Yeah, that's my problem.
Well, I didn't say that. You did, but...
That's what you were implying.
I didn't. I just said...
You were implying...
plenty of people out there are going to get stoned and not be able to log into their iPhone.
Your flyers are fancy.
Not just you.
But everybody keeps paying with their phone for everything. They have a barcode on their phone. Now it's crazy. Lisa got her new Amex yesterday, and it's a metal card, and the number's no longer on the front.
Dude, you're like a bigwig if you got a metal card. It's like unlimited. You can buy cars and stuff on that thing.
No, it's not like that. No.
Yep.
But all the cards are metal now, and the number's on the back by the security code and by the signature bar. And I was like,
really?
That's really awkward.
I know, like on my phone, I can just swipe up from the bottom, and there's my Amex. And
that's
then I just
cool.
I just tap it, and I can pay for whatever I want.
But you're not worried if your phone gets stolen or lost?
Well, you have to put in a PIN number or my thumbprint.
Oh, okay.
So now I have 15 seconds to pay.
Plus,
I
just you're able
trust
to
that.
You're yeah. able to erase it, right? Like you were telling me with my phone, you're able to erase
yes.
it remotely.
You can erase, yeah.
All so your if
I
lost
it, yeah, yeah. I can wipe my phone remotely. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. We're going to a digital currency anyways, because it's rare that I have actual cash on me. I know that it exists, which is always comforting, because I can go down to the bank and say, all right, give me all my money in a physical form. But it would be fine if I could be like, all right, dump all of the money I have to a physical, you know, or to a drive on my computer, I guess.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it's just people want to be able to put to hide money under the bed or the mattress or bury it in the backyard, and it makes them feel better. But get gold, I guess. I don't know. It's confusing to me, though. It's fascinating, too, though.
I'm initially like kind of resistant about it because I'm not smart enough to deal with all these fraudulent people out there. But people are fraudulent now. Like you yep. can be a victim of identity theft just sitting at your home doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Not logging into a computer, not putting your social in, not just sitting there.
Well, I was watching how they were saying it's actually harder to counterfeit Bitcoin than it is like American currency. There's deception that goes on, but it's really more deception than it is actual counterfeiting a Bitcoin or the currency itself. So that's kind of cool, but I mean, I don't know. That's I do know that the problem that they had was when they launched that. Did you ever hear about that website called Silk Road?
No.
So there was this thing called Silk Road, and they would sell like heroin and people, and they were just, you could buy anything on Silk Road using Bitcoin, and that's where it all went south.
Had no idea.
Yeah. I was figuring you were getting your heroin from the Silk Road.
No.
Okay. Well,
not
I guess
from
I was
the Silk
wrong.
Road.
Figured
not
maybe
a
that's
trusted
how you
supplier.
Were. I figured that's yeah. how you got started smoking crack was yeah. You took a trip down Silk Road. No? Okay.
Wow. Okay. So we're going to continue to move on. By the way, besides Bitcoin, you know what else is hot topics these days? The Houston Rockets. They've now won 10 in a row. Nick was at the game last night. I watched it. Did you watch it, Barry?
I did watch it. Yes, sir.
So we've got that to talk about. Lots to talk about positively about the Houston Rockets. Some negatives around the Houston Texans are still swarming. And oh, by the way, there was a football game last night. It wasn't the blowout that a lot of people thought it would be. It was one hell of a football game, and it got the result that a lot of people are happy with. So plenty of things to talk about. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Give us a call. Send us a text. Give us a tweet, and if you text us like the ass clown that's phone number ends in 8059, you can kiss mine, and I can make sure that you have other options the rest of your
someone's up in the text
I
now.
Opened the text line because I knew once we said anything that it was going to spur some. So
and you noticed
this,
I didn't read it.
Nine.
And you noticed
right.
I didn't
appreciate
read
that.
It.
It's about time. You're changing. All right, we're going to be back with a whole lot more. It's the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5. But I ain't going out like no punk bitch. Get
used to one style AO when I might switch it up on the ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, just a half hour in the back pocket as we continue to move forward with the next 2.5 hours of the big show. And before we get back to sports, Jake, seems like it isn't surprising that you're a pipeline expert because you're either smoking it or you're taking it. But the bottom line is, you need to be a little bit more cagey when you send anonymous text messages and you realize we have ways now, sir. We have ways to see you even when you think you're sneaking around behind your keyboard. Have a nice day. All right. We continue to
roll
on. I
just want to point out that you only gave me credit for one time not reading a hateful text that you got. I've been doing that for about 6 months now.
Well, but I've been sheltering you from the hate. That's nice. I appreciate it.
And Nick,
well,
for the most part.
You filter the hate, really, so you let some hate go through.
Well, I didn't
read
that one.
That's why a lot of times in breaks, he's chuckling his ass off. Because he knows that we took shots, but he's just not going to put them out
there. I just keep moving.
I've been avoiding the text line for that reason. And you've been, I know you filtered a lot. There's been times where I checked in and I'm like, dang.
But I still read mine because I find them to be hilarious.
Yeah.
But there rarely will I skip over one of mine, but I usually try to skip y'all's.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. It's It's all good.
But at the same time, I mean.
So, yeah, what was his name?
Jake.
Yeah, Jake.
Not from State Farm.
Jake, don't be a jerk, Jake.
Jake, who went to high school.
That's the beauty of this.
He went to high school. Yeah. He's a pipeline guy.
You guys should know that we can just take the number, paste it into Facebook, and a lot of times, pops your identity.
Ding.
Yeah.
Jake, nice pictures with children.
Oh,
like
hey,
that.
Whoa.
I'm just saying, we see the pictures.
I'm assuming it's his daughter.
What does that mean? I'm just saying, hey, we've got ways, Jake. Have a nice day. Anyway, so we all watched the Rockets game last night.
We did.
Yep.
Got to tell you, boys, with every passing game, I get more impressed with this team. Although, as much as we boasted about their improved defense and their top five standing in defensive rating, the last two games may make that take a tumble a little bit. But what a shootout you witnessed in person, Nick. That was one hell of a first half, 76-74.
Yeah, I know. Second team in a row where the team that they faced is unprecedentedly making three-pointers. I mean, 10 of 12 first three-pointers, I think. First 12 three-pointers, they made 10. Portland did something similar, too. I mentioned how they only made 9 going into that season. 9 made three-pointers in a single game before going against the Rockets, and then they make 6 in the first 8 minutes. And both times, the Rockets were able to bounce back and have good fourth-quarter performances. You mentioned the defense, and yeah, like on the perimeter, there was guys that were just way too open. But for the most part,
I couldn't miss.
It was, yeah, they were hot. Like, I credit more to them just making threes more than anything else. And there was times where Harden and Capella had really good defense. Cousins was just, I mean.
But here's, the, I mean, and here's the thing. If you're New Orleans, as you get a career performance out of Etuan Moore, but yet P.J. Tucker is guarding the best offensive center in the game.
My favorite part of the game, by the way.
And they will not give him the ball consistently enough to say, hey, you at least have a foot and a half advantage. You know, go to work with your reach and your length and go to work on the low block. They just kept on shooting it up, shooting it up, shooting it up.
So credit to Tucker, because when he was playing defense, he wasn't trying to allow the pass to Cousins.
But he's strong as hell, too. When he gets low and he was standing Cousins up on that block. And you're right, I give him credit, but again, it goes to what we were talking about. Now, when the thing that everybody nationally is focused on Chris Paul, but they haven't focused on the fact of how many games he was out, just 14 games, right? They're not focusing enough on the additions that went under the radar, the Mbah Mute and the P.J. Tucker, because those two guys, they have completely changed your defensive culture. And it gives a guy that's the defensive coach in Bezdelic resources now to be able to do other things. When they want to and they put the clamps down after that crazy first half, it's a different story. You forget that Chris Paul leads the league in steals every year. I mean, he's going to get some steals. And the other thing that was just brilliant to watch, it's normally the James Harden show if they're going to make a comeback. Chris Paul, what was it, 10 straight points? He had 8 in a row to end the third. He had a 3 to start the fourth or right near the start of the fourth. And then every time...
Couple of good assists.
Exactly. Then he's distributing. And the other thing is, he can go one-on-one and get to the rack, and he was beating anyone New Orleans put on him.
Yep.
At one point when he scored going to break, I think it was a three-pointer, you could see him kind of – he didn't directly look at anybody, but he looked in that direction of the Pelicans bench and just basically said, get the bleep out of here. Like, you guys can't hold me.
He took the mouthpiece out to actually keep rattling it.
You can't hold me if I want to score. That was a beautiful thing. And the same thing. Did you see Harden towards the end of the game when he got the steal? Which, by the way, 6 steals.
Yeah.
They said during the telecast he doesn't get enough credit for the defense that he plays. You tweeted it out as well.
Yeah. At one point, Harden was guarding Cousins.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
And how about that 3 that he hit over Cousins when they ended up with the mismatch on the telecast? They were like, uh-oh, here we go.
Yeah.
And he hits that 3 over Cousins at the top. But down that stretch, you're right. CP3 got him back. Harden took over in the last couple of minutes, and that was ball game. And at one point, towards the end, after James got his 6th steal, he comes walking towards the baseline, and you can see him mouthing, this is my city, this is my city. And it made me think of something. I wonder how motivated he is now to be the big man in the city, because you've got J.J. Watt, because you've got Altuve. He sees the recognition of these superstars, Deshaun Watson, Springer, Correa. So he sees all these superstars getting just massive amounts of love from the city as a whole. And I feel like that's also what's motivating James Harden. He wants to be on that Mount Rushmore of this city and a beloved athlete in this city.
I can believe that. I think he wants to be the man. I think he still wants to be the man a little bit.
There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. But again, there are certain things that you have to sacrifice if you truly want that recognition. And a lot of it, look, there's a couple of schools of thought on this, right? He's the head and shoulders leader for MVP right now. But even if he gets MVP of the regular season, he still has a ton to prove come playoff time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a different ballgame because that's where you get that ultimate recognition. That's where you're anointed to be on those Mount Rushmores because you've taken them to the promised land or you've done everything in your power to physically put the entire team on your back or do whatever needs to be done. So he can do that. But the other thing is you got to sacrifice all the silly stuff. You got to sacrifice being known better for being a big-time spender in a strip club than a leader of your team. And granted, some guys aren't natural-born leaders. But whether it's fair or not, when you get to that level of playing mm-hmm. and status, the fan base, the nation, sports fans, they're whether you like it or not, they're going to consider you a leader and expect you to be one. And sometimes it's just not in your DNA. You just may be one of the best offensive players in the world, but you're just not a leader. But now you got a guy next to you that it's in his DNA. His entire life he's been a leader. And that helps them immensely. That's why I think the playoffs could be different this year, because that's where the value of Chris Paul really comes into play.
Yeah, and I, you know, another observation I had from the game last night is watching Harden, and this is going to sound dumb, but watching him shoot his free throws, and I think I've mentioned on this show before, but you can tell what kind of James Harden you're dealing with by the shape that he's in. And his upper body right now, his shoulders, his arms, his chest is chiseled.
Yep.
He's not doughy. He's not chubby. He's chiseled, which lets me know he put in work in the offseason. He's putting in work when he's not in a game. This dude is working behind the scenes because I think he has something to prove above just the fact that he's one of the better scorers in the league. I think he wants to be an MVP. And I'll be honest, and he probably won't get enough credit for this, but I think he looks around that team and realizes that they're good enough to win a championship. Will they? I don't know. Are the Warriors absolutely the favorite? Yes. But is this team good enough to get to the finals? I think it is.
I think you're right.
And I think he knows that, and that's why he's so dedicated. Because think about it. When he came out and everyone, that six-minute video of his horrible defense came out, what did he do the next year? He came out as runner-up to Steph Curry in the MVP race, and then he relaxed. He met a Kardashian, and then the Rockets were bad, and so was he. And then he got made fun of again, and then what does he do? He comes out and he's runner-up and MVP to Russell Westbrook. So when he's motivated, there's no doubt what he's capable of.
And that's what I've been preaching to you guys since we started doing this. He's the kind of guy that needs that external motivation. Sometimes you get so comfortable in your status that you take a Kardashian year.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have it, you're absolutely right. When you have that kind of motivation and you realize everybody saw what you did last year and yet you still didn't get that one individual award that you want. But again, it also ropes back into what we were talking about. If you want that true status within your town, within your state, within your city, then you do something from a team perspective too. And if you can do that in the postseason, hey, the red carpet's waiting for him. And if he just walks a straight line and goes right down the middle of that thing and takes this team with him,
mm-hmm.
they can do a lot of good things this year. And I feel a lot better about this team this year than I did about last year's team. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I do too. And I still hesitate to say it because I still think at the end of the day, Golden State is the class of the West.
Mm-hmm.
But at this time last year, and even you know as well as the Rockets played down the stretch, I didn't give the Rockets a fighting chance against Golden State. I don't feel that way this year. I feel like that this team can at least hang,
compete.
Can go seven.
Compete.
Can lose compete by one them. In game yep. seven at the buzzer.
I mean, with the way the season is standing right now, in my opinion, it's two teams you got to be concerned about. I think it's the Spurs.
Yeah.
And I think it's the Warriors.
You're right.
And I think those are the two biggest humps. Kawhi Leonard, who you guys know I'm a big fan of, he makes his season debut today. He has not played a single game, and look where the Spurs are at in the scary Western Conference. So, I mean, if you can get past the Spurs, and, you know, the Rockets may not even face them, but they could. And then, and if you get past the Warriors, I think you're in really good shape. I think you're in really good shape if you're a Houston Rockets fan.
And let me just throw this little nugget out at you, too, because I'm the one that's always preaching, hey, enjoy the regular season, but the playoffs are a different animal. But one reason why the regular season is important this year, look at the ends of the spectrum. You could be the Rockets right now, who everybody was being critical of because they wanted to see how the Paul Harden experiment was going to work out. And look at how great they're playing. And look at the Oklahoma City Thunder, who, oh, by the way, lost again last night and now are scratching their temple looking for answers. But everybody swore up and down that was the team that was as good as Golden State, or at least to compete with them. That was the team that was the second best team in the West. They got all kinds of problems. And I got news for you, boys. They want to blame Billy Donovan. It ain't Billy Donovan's fault. It's starting with those three, that three-headed monster that can't put their egos aside.
I was going to say that three-headed ego.
No doubt about
look
it.
At I love what Brian Barrett was talking about, but Victor Oladipo, look how he's playing ever since he's left that squad.
Yeah. Can we all agree that it was a blessing that Carmelo Anthony isn't a Rocket?
I would agree that for sure. I was skeptical before.
But is it Carmelo or is it Russ's fault?
Everyone's fault.
That's the thing. If you've got guys that don't understand how to mesh their egos, because all of them have egos, you're fooling yourself if you don't think everybody in the NBA that's even close to being a superstar doesn't have an ego. It's how you make them mesh. Chris Paul has an ego. James Harden has an ego, but they know how to make them work together. The difference would be if you added Carmelo Anthony, would that work? I don't think so.
Yeah.
The rest of these guys on this Rockets team have egos, but they understand what their role is and how to make it work
together. I was so pleased to hear Harden say, yeah, man, I was kind of yelling at Chris Paul because I want him to take more shots. I'm like, wow. Like, you never thought, you know, like, that's really impressive for him to say that. And I don't think you have that in Oklahoma City.
No.
No, we continue to talk about this because it's a good topic. And there's, you know, ways to break that down from an Oklahoma City perspective. But be pleased where your Rockets are right now. Patrick, we see you. We're going to get to you next as we continue to talk some Rockets right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Yes, it turns to gold. Everybody knows I've got the magic in me.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, still in hour number one of the three-hour extravaganza we like to call The Usual Suspects.
Hey, can I give a shout-out to Kirsten? She was the first person to offer to buy my shirt. So she was actually my first sale. I sold some online when I did an email blast.
Well, there was a little bit of a technical issue with your, right? Weren't you tweeting about it? And that's why you didn't get it. You got it fixed though, right?
Well, yeah. So I screwed up my shipping in my store. On my website to buy the shirt. Yeah, I screwed it up. But you could still do it. It's just that it wasn't charging the right prices.
All right.
It was charging more.
But it's all fixed now.
So I refunded everyone that bought a shirt that paid more than they should have for shipping. I went through and did the refunds and fixed it.
Oh, you actually refunded the money?
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. I'm not a jerk. Idiot. No. I'm not a jerk. But technically, she was my first sale. So shout out for the support. Much love. Much
appreciated. Way to go, Kirsten.
Yeah.
Did you have a coffee that you have? Did you try out the cards now? That I gave you.
Not
go to
yet.
Go to a different Starbucks just to make yourself feel better. But Nick doesn't like when I recycle gift cards. But I'm off caffeine.
No,
so
it's
anybody
not that.
That gives me Starbucks, I pass it on to Kirsten.
Oh yeah, you're still how? What do you want? You want like a month?
Yeah, and I'm telling you, boys, there were about three or four times, including the Beaumont trip, that I was jonesing for a coffee and caffeine like you would not believe. Like you get that feeling in your eyes and everything. I'm like, oh my God, I would love to have a coffee right now. And then this morning when I got here, I walked into the kitchen and someone just made a fresh pot of that like roasted flavored coffee.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that smells good, but I can't do it. I won't do it.
See, I thought it would be easier for me to quit coffee because our show starts so late.
Right.
But it's just not the case. I haven't stopped at all. Like I just can't stop drinking coffee.
I'm the same way with crack. I really thought.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
That's good for you though, man, because I know like it'll make you, like, I'm sure you had the headaches for a few days.
5 days.
Yeah, but then once you get past that,
yeah,
for me, every once in a while, I want a cigarette after having not smoked forever.
I can believe that, yeah.
I still want to have a cigarette every once in a while. And not usually because I smell it. It's just out of nowhere. I'm like, I would love to. Like, on a cold day, mm-hmm. I used to love to, like, drive to work. It's kind of chilly in the truck or whatever.
The smoke doesn't warm you up, right?
No, but I would drink a coffee.
Ah.
And smoke a cigarette, and that was a fantastic part of my day. So, gone. But that's all right.
No doubt about it. I mean, look, and here's the thing. Like, I'm not going to lie. So, I had Taylor most of the day on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
And so, instead of having a coffee, I just went and got a decaf.
Oh, okay.
So I got the taste of it and the warmth, like you're talking about. So I got a warm, hot beverage,
right,
just without caffeine. But and it wasn't the, quite the same taste, but at least it was, you know, like a filler.
Yes, it's close.
But and I'll tell you, because again, I deal with Lance does it to a different degree than I do. But we both have reflux, and I'm telling you that the night and day difference that I have. I went running last night. I did 3.5-4 miles, and normally the reaction that I have with reflux when I was on caffeine was that I literally will start like a gag reflux in the first 15 minutes.
Nobody likes a dude that gags.
No, exactly. Yeah. But I'm serious. Literally, I feared running because I knew it was going to happen, dude. And I hate that feeling.
Yeah.
It was to the point where I was doing it 4 or 5 times in a 4-mile run.
That would suck.
And it's embarrassing because you don't want to run by people and see you like ready to cough up a lung.
Look like my cat every time they throw up.
Wearing
which is a
sunglasses because they think you're crying because you're running. So eventually, when I cut both dairy and caffeine out, night and day different.
So you have zero dairy. So you don't eat cheese.
So on my cheat day this weekend,
is
I
a
did.
Cheese day.
It was a cheese. It was like we did Mexican food, and I did queso and the works like I love.
I bet your farts
stunk.
And
the next day, when I went running, 5 times again.
Really?
So we can't. My wife thinks it's the caffeine. I think it's the dairy. But either way, I feel a hell of a lot better. So,
man.
Like Lance has a different kind. Like Lance, his voice will peter out after when he used to have to do 4 hours.
Yeah,
he would only do 3 because his voice would peter out after the 3rd hour.
Or he was just using it as an excuse.
And he's big time
lazy.
Now. So yeah, he has Bitcoin in radio. Terms.
No.
He is the Bitcoin of radio the way he works.
No.
Yes.
Is he?
Yes. Okay. It's volatile, he's but fancy. I mean, at this point,
is
he's on top of the Bitcoin world.
He was supposed to join us last Wednesday. Is he going to be joining us tomorrow?
We'll find out.
All right. That'll be interesting.
If you'll put the joystick down long enough to talk to him and open his office
what?
Door, we'll find out. You
that
know he does all
like
of his
euphemism.
Offensive line editing with a joystick from his video game.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yes.
Okay. You want to take Patrick's call before
yeah,
we forget?
It's an Xbox remote, according to Carson. It's an Xbox remote.
Yeah, he uses an Xbox remote to quickly edit.
Well, you called it a joystick. We don't use joysticks anymore.
Well, that's why that's I noticed strategically
true.
Barry, when he asked the question about video games, said, Nick, I was meaning to ask you about that. Kind of gave me the glancing, like, you know, I know that
I
you
would
don't.
Never.
Yeah.
No, listen, I know who's.
What is the going rate for a video for Call of Duty?
$60.
Really?
Yep. The controller is $60. Literally, an Xbox controller is $60.
But Call of Duty,
right?
Although if you
one
get
does.
It on sale, like Target had it on sale for $40. Amazon had it on sale for $40. But when they get released, they're usually $59.99.
Okay. I was just curious because I was thinking about that last night after we got done talking about it. I was like, I wonder what video games cost these days.
About 60, right?
Yeah, they're about 60. Yeah. Unless sometimes you can get them cheaper, like when you buy like the download version, like the digital version.
You can save
but
a
other
bit.
Than that, it's about $60, especially when the game is new.
And used to, you could go through the PlayStation Store, buy it, and not have to pay tax on it. But that's not the case anymore. I think they charge you tax now. Jerks.
I have something else I want to bring up that I thought about last night too. That
okay.
is specifically for our man Nick.
Birds and
but
bees.
Before we get to that, okay. let's get Patrick in here on the Rockets. Patrick, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. First, let me say that I'm really concerned about your acid reflux, man. I found out I have Barrett's esophagus. You need to get that checked out.
Wait, did you say reflux?
Acid reflux.
Oh, I thought you said ass and, reflux. And, I was like, that's a whole different thing.
And
that's
you said
diarrhea.
You have what, Patrick?
I have Barrett's esophagus. You need to get checked out, seriously. The acid will eat your esophagus away until you have cancer.
What kind of esophagus do you have?
Barrett's esophagus.
Is that a medical term?
I would assume
yes.
so.
Or did you like get an esophagus transplant from a dude named Barrett? All right, I'll move
no,
on.
No, if he's gagging that much when he's running, he needs to get checked for real.
Damn it, Joel.
But my basketball team is terrible, so I've adopted the Rockets. I'm
good
absolutely
choice.
Excited. I live here in I'm sorry?
I said good choice.
Oh yeah, I love watching them play. I haven't been able to make it to a game yet. Hopefully I will. But I'm concerned about two players, the main two, Chris Paul and James Harden. I you know, they're great to watch. They're a highlight reel waiting to happen. But I'm concerned about their past and the present of kind of choking when it comes down to it. And not you talk about leadership. You know, I've seen Chris Paul with tons of talent around him and can't get to the Western Conference Finals. I saw James Harden in OKC. Choke when they needed him to hit free throws or score points. And I'm also concerned about D'Antoni, how he doesn't really instill that confidence or that leadership into his team. So I'm wondering if you see the same thing I'm seeing and are concerned that they just fill up stats, or, you know, are they going to actually finally take that next step?
Appreciate the call,
Patrick.
Great
call, Patrick. Thank you very much, and thanks for the advice on the esophagus and the reflux. But, look, there's several points, Barry, and I don't know if you want to chime in first, because you know I've got plenty on this, but I can see where people might still have concerns, but that's why I said right from the get-go when we started talking about the Rockets, look, I am impressed as hell with this regular season. But to me, as a team, but more so as James Harden goes, and you can also rope Chris Paul into this because he's never advanced to where he's wanted to go from a postseason perspective as well. But from a James Harden perspective, for all those people that have drank the Kool-Aid out there, like to give me hell every time I mention this, I'm going to say it again. I'm not giving him a pass on the playoffs. And I said last year when he crapped the bed, look, he's going to have to play an entire regular season before he can try and right the ship. But he still has plenty of ship to right. But you can't argue with the fact that, one, he's playing at an MVP level. Two, he's done what a lot of people doubted, which is he's coexisting with Chris Paul and they're winning games. And three, as a team, they're playing defense and they're winning games. So from that perspective, just be happy with what they have right now. But we can break down some of the things that you mentioned in your call.
Yeah, I think the big thing about the whole choking in the playoffs and so forth, you're going to have to just get there and get over it.
Yep.
There's no way to know, well, as good as they're playing, does this mean they're not going to choke? Absolutely not. The fact of the matter is, the only way they're going to shake that is to not do it again. And that doesn't mean that they necessarily get to a finals and win a championship, but it means they carry their team and go as far as they can get. So he can play well, and this team still doesn't beat Golden State, but that doesn't mean he choked. But that's what's going to have to happen next, because you can't predict that. You just have no idea if and when he's capable of not choking in the playoffs.
You're right,
again.
And you can't erase the past. The 13 turnovers in an elimination game against Golden State. The disappearing against the Spurs. The not being a part of the comeback against the Clippers. And you can go on and on and on. Those are the demons that he has to exercise by getting to the postseason and doing better. But it's possible, and it's even more possible because of the team around him. And both guys can do a lot of exercising their demons in the postseason.
That's what I say. You have to wait for that,
no
because
doubt.
There's just no predicting that.
No doubt about it. All right, Ben, we see you. You want to get here on the flip side of the equation, the Oklahoma City Thunder. We'll get to you after the break. 1 hour in the books, 2 hours to go to the big show. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.